When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to the second show of our week. We're going to talk about the model for the Genesis Scottish Open, and then we'll talk about some horses for courses. Hint, there aren't many. And we'll talk about current form for the other tournament of the week, as well as the Genesis Scottish Open, which is the ISCO, still figure out how to say that, championship in Nicholasville, Kentucky, a Keen Trace Golf Club. So, let's start with a model for the Genesis Scottish Open. We do these every week. We do them for the main PGA Tour event of the week. Sometimes we do them for the Oppos. It's kind of tough to do it for an Oppo like this one and next week's at the Barracuda because the field makeup is there's PGA Tour players, there's DP World Tour players. We, for better or for worse, in our database don't have DP World Tour strokes gained data. So it is very tough to model on strokes gained when you don't have that for a good chunk of the field. So making a list of players to like based on that rubric would be kind of unfair. Just being realistic with you. And since we focus so much on the PGA Tour and the show and that data set, I just kind of figure we'll just talk through that as opposed to doing a model. So that's this week and next week for the alternate events or the opposite field events. But we do have a field ranking, a model that we do for and we have for the Genesis Scottish Open. Again, this looks at 1 and 2 year windows. It looks at the last 10 events. It looks at the prior 3 years in the event being played this week, assuming it's played on the same course. If not, then it's the years it's on that course. And then also a look at the relative strength of a player in strokes gained compared to their competition. And if they're playing against strong fields, then we measure them against strong fields. If they're playing against weaker fields, it's weaker fields. So that all comes into play in our model. All right, that all said. Here's the top 10 for the week. The full list, well, really the top 70, is available in an article at golfnewsnet.com. The full list is available on our cheat sheet, which we use for our Golf Newsnet members, $40 a year to join. And we look at their ranking for the week in our model. We look at their price on the outright market. We look at their DFS price according to DraftKings. We look at their results in the last 5 PGA Tour events played and the last 5 years of an event's history. In this case, this is the third year as this event is a co-sanctioned tournament, so I do not have loaded 2021, 2020, and 2019 for this tournament when it was just a DP World Tour event, not a co-sanctioned affair. Different tournament then. Also, different venues in that time period too. So, top of our table this week is Xander Schauffele, but not by a whole lot. I mean, by 0.3 points over Rory McIlroy, who's number 2. Colin Morikawa is number 3. He is a distant third from the top 2. He's a full point away from McIlroy and a point and a third away from Xander Schauffele. Then he is just ahead of Tommy Fleetwood, Hideki Matsuyama, then Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg, Christian Bezuidenhout, who always seems to rank well in these models, Jordan Spieth, that's not so great, Corey Connors is 10th, Max Homa is 11th, Davis Thompson's 11th because he's been gaining a whole lot of strokes lately, so he gets a big old boost in the ranking. But that said, he has actually been playing pretty okay. So none of that's especially surprising, I don't think. Some guys who did well in the model that I definitely did not expect, Doug Gim, 17th, Matthew Pavon, 18th, Kurt Kitayama, 19th. Wyndham Clark's down to 20th. Justin Thomas, 21st. Sahith Theegala is worse than I thought, 23rd. Aaron Rye, 24th. But again, this is a longer-term focused model. So we're looking at players' performance over a much broader scheme. Yes, we have influences from last 10 events and last 3 years of a particular tournament, but those influences do not outweigh what you see in those 1 and 2 year windows. It's not even close. So this is our starting point. This is where we come from to start the model. Then we got to look at short-term form. We got to look at positioning and finish. And these are tools that are available to our members at golfnewsnet.com. But that's our starting point for ranking the field. And then we're going to look at the short-term model, which means we're going to look at the last 10 events played on the schedule, and we're going to look for players who meet one of three criteria. They're either gaining 1.5 quality strokes per gain per round on average in the last 10 events that they have played, or on the last 10 events in aggregate, whatever part they've played in those. Gaining 1.25 strokes per round on the average strokes gained total. Quality strokes gained is strokes gained total times the value of your competition as measured by the official World Golf Ranking. So in a major, you get 100 points to the winner. We basically move the decimal place over 2 to the left and multiply by 2. So it's you multiply the strokes gained by 2. In an event where 50 points goes to the winner, you get that's your standard event, right? That's what you would consider a 1. You know, the strokes gained is times 1. If you played in a worse event like that, like so for the last 2 weeks where the points are at 40 for the winner, or 41 and 39, then that would be a 0.8 event. Does that make sense? Okay. So then we're also looking for players who are gaining 0.6 strokes per round or more on the approach. Because even if you're putting poorly, approach play is a much more reliable metric to determine how good of a golfer you are. Putting is much more variable. So if you're a poor putter, but you have a good week, and you've been playing well on the approach, you have a very good chance of winning and surprising some people. So let's start with the strokes gained total folks in the field this week. And there are quite a few of them. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Davis Thompson, Aaron Rye, Hideki Matsuyama, Minwoo Lee, Corey Connors, Sun JM, starting to get a pattern. Robert McIntyre is in there on the back of his win, but really nothing else. Sam Stevens has been playing well. Tommy Fleetwood qualifies in 2 categories, quality strokes gained and in total. Ludvig Åberg qualifies in all 3. Victor Hovland qualifies in all 3. Keith Mitchell in 2 of the 3. Andrew Novak in just the strokes gained in the aggregate has been putting very, very well recently. In terms of quality strokes gained, all of those people I listed fit that criteria, except Sam Stevens, who's been doing his dirty work in lousy fields. Keith Mitchell, same thing. And Andrew Novak, same thing. Guy who is just short. There are several players who are just short of the metric you want in terms of the total strokes gained, you know, the strokes gained OG versus QSG. There are some players who have been killing against bad field or good fields, rather. Christian Bezuidenhout, which is why he's partially ranked so high. Tom Kim. Jordan Smith, who's been playing great anywhere I can see him play. Tom McKibben has been playing great golf. Tom Dietrich. So I mentioned Tom McKibben yesterday. I think I mentioned Jordan Smith, but I know I definitely mentioned Tom McKibben as a guy to like this week. I very, very much like him. The only problem is his approach play is just erratic. It can be very erratic. He gains on the tee. Good hitter, good strong hitter. He's a good putter. And leaves the approach game, kind of leaves a little something to be desired, I suppose. Now, in terms of approach play, your best approach players out of those last 10 events played. Let's look at Xander Schauffele, Corey Connors, Victor Hovland, Keith Mitchell, Rory McIlroy, Bryce Garnett, believe it or not, Tom Hoagie, who has been doing everything just about right, except around the greens, he's horrible at chipping, Jordan Smith, Francesco Molinari, Sepp Straka, been playing well on the approach play, not so great on the putting, not so great on the chipping, Ludvig, Aaron Rye, Nikolai Højgaard, Ben Griffin, somebody I mentioned, been playing well on the approach. Not a great gainer on the drive, but hey, that's who he is. Seamus Power and Sebastian Soderberg. That's that group. So you see a lot of crossover there with our short-term list and the long-term list. With that all said, we try to typically do kind of course fits between tournaments, and frankly, there's not enough data about Renaissance Club to feel comfortable doing that, and I don't like the data about the ISCO Championship because it basically says off the tee doesn't really matter. It's all about approach play, and I mean to a staggering degree. So I'm not entirely sold on that. So let's leave that be in terms of course fits for the week. But I do want to look at finish trends in the last 50 events so we can look at players in the field. We're trying to look for players who are basically top 20 locks. And some of them are in the field this week. This is agnostic. This is everybody. This isn't the field this week. This is looking at players who are in the basically in the top 20 in 50% or more of their last 50 tournaments, of the last 50 PGA Tour events played. So of those in the field this week, Xander Schauffele, 78% of the time. Rory McIlroy, 71% of the time. Colin Morikawa, 67% of the time. Ludwig, 62.5%. Victor Hovland, 58%. Russell Henley, 58%. Tommy Fleetwood, 54.5%. Those are some guys who are actually playing this week. Max Homa, 48%. Like, it drops down really quickly in terms of that percentage ranking. What would be is also, this is interesting to look at from the perspective of top 10, top 20, top 30, top 40 bets, right? That's why I want to bring that up. So I like that kind of 50% and above metric, but if you're in the 45% and above metric, I think I'll take even 40, because that adds in like a Matt Fitzpatrick, Sungjae Im, Adam Scott, Sahith Theegala, Shane Lowry. I think I mentioned Justin Thomas. Tony Finau's not playing, but he would be in that list. Wyndham Clark would, Keith Mitchell would, Matthew Pavon would hit it right on the nose. So those are some guys to think about in terms of consistency across a year's worth of scheduling. Guys that aren't up and down, up and down, up and down so much. That's important. Some guys that you may be interested in looking at in strokes gained by round. Also, strokes gained tee to green trends is something that I really think is important. I don't talk enough about in this podcast, but it's a great tool. You want to look, basically strokes gained tee to green kind of tells you everything you need to know. Putting is erratic, right? If you're a good putter, you're probably going to be a good putter. If you're a bad putter, you're probably going to be a bad putter. But those things can change pretty wildly. Those things can change pretty wildly from round to round, tournament to tournament, surface to surface. So that doesn't change as much tee to green. But sometimes there are big variations. You want to look at players who are playing above, significantly above, what their average over the last 50 events played on the PGA Tour versus the last 10 events played. So, for example, Keith Mitchell, strokes gained tee to green per round, 1.645 in the last 10 events played. Over the last 50, though, 0.352. So, he's gaining significantly better per round in the last 10 events played tee to green. Same thing with Matt Wallace. I'm going to give you some guys that are above 0.5 strokes per round, strokes to the good in the last 10 events versus the last 50 events. Rory McIlroy, Davis Thompson, Xander Schauffele, Seamus Power, Sungjae Im, Bryce Garnett, Corey Connors, Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa by a significant margin, even though he does all of his damage tee to green. Christian Mazadenhoy, Eric Van Rooyen, Sepp Straka by a significant margin. Alexander Bjork by a significant margin, which is kind of interesting. He should be playing better. Kevin Yu, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, Ludwig, Tom Kim rounds out that list. So some guys to consider. Ben Griffin been playing better. Some guys to consider in that regard. Also want to look at, and I don't think we talked about this yet, we're trying to look at current form players. We normally do a section of this show talking about players who are a horse for a course. And with Renaissance Club, we really only have the last 2 years, right? With this as a co-sanctioned event at Renaissance Club. There's one guy who's finished in the top 15 both those years. It's Tommy Fleetwood. Okay, take that for what it's worth. Doesn't win in the States. But Scotland's not the States, so maybe you can bet him. In the ISCO Championship, there's only one guy, too, and that's Josh Teeter. And he's a Kentucky guy. I would not bet him in this event. You don't really want to play in this event multiple years, right? If you're playing in this event multiple years, you're struggling to keep a PGA Tour card. So I don't want you to be in there. I want you to be an up-and-comer, just for what that's worth. And then to look at players who have multiple top 15 finishes in the last five PGA Tour events played. Now, in the next couple weeks, that'll be like 6 events and then 7 events because we have, I count the oppos all as 1 week. So it'll be eventually 7 events we're looking at. But here are the people across both events, doesn't matter the field, who have multiple top 15s. Ludwig, Luke Clanton, again, the first amateur since 1958 to have back-to-back top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour. Nick Dunlap, Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy, Aaron Rye all have 2 top 15 finishes. And 4 golfers have 3. Sungjae Im, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Davis Thompson. All right? So that's a pretty good list of folks to connect with here for the week. So let's look at the market for the Genesis Scottish Open first, just to kind of reset things a little bit. McIlroy 8-1, Schauffele 9-1, Ludwig 16-1 with Morikawa, Fleetwood 20-1, and so on and so forth. I think based on some of the modeling and some of the trending data, you may want to think about, I like Minwoo Lee. I feel like Tom Kim is maybe a little too high. I don't like that price. I understand why he's ranked where he is. Rob Bolton, who does a great job at PGAtour.com, I think he has him like 3rd on the list. One guy I did not bring up, however, who seems to be rounding into form again once I looked at him, is Brian Harman, the defending Open champion. He's been playing good golf. I know he gets right at the Travelers pretty much every year. He kind of slingshot into this, but he's starting to play good golf again. And it might be time to throw a little bit of cash on him, especially in an event like this and maybe in the Open. I know it would be super weird if he were to defend, and I'm sure his odds are quite long, but I was looking through the data today and just was like, all right, well, maybe you got to reconsider this guy. I think otherwise, Morikawa makes a ton of sense. I think Hideki makes quite a bit of sense. Aaron Rye certainly makes sense. Again, I like Harman. I like Tom Dietrich a lot. I really like Tom Dietrich quite a bit. McKibben has been bet down quite a bit, so if you did not get him in the hundreds yesterday, he's in the 8, is the 80 now. You may have missed that opportunity in terms of value. Matt Wallace has been playing very, very well in terms of strokes gained tee to green. I think he's worth a consideration. Ewan Ferguson certainly is. He just won the DP World Tour at 110-1. Seamus Power is kind of interesting at 150-1. And as I mentioned yesterday, Bernd Wiesberger is just kind of hanging in there at that 110-120 number. I think he was 130, now he's 120. So a little bit of change there. And then Ben Griffin's probably an interesting long shot. Then to switch just over to the ISCO Championship and look at that market, it is not very fun. Luke Clanton, an amateur, is 9-1. That's all you need to know about how goofball this market is. Michael Thorbjørnsen is 14-1. I think that's held steady, and that seems like a much more reasonable bet compared to a Chan Kim. Michael Kim loves these kinds of events, kind of makes his living off of them. He did tweet today, just before we started recording this, that he is not feeling his best and may have kind of tweaked something, so maybe you want to lay off him. Mac Meisner, 30-1, I like quite a bit. J.J. Spong, Carson Young, all those guys are 30-1 I like quite a bit. Harry Hall's made a lot of cuts. I'm going to have him in a DFS lineup, but I'm not going to play him as a bet here. Again, David Skins got bet down, so hopefully he got down with that yesterday. I think he was more like 55. Now he's 45. Some people noticed some mispricing there, I think. Other than that, David Micheluzzi got bet down real fast, and so did Johannes Veerman. But Micheluzzi was 100-1. Now he's 65-1 at DraftKings, so they must have some kind of significant liability on him. Trace Crowe, I really do like at 75-1. I think is worth a look at that number. And I think Adrien Dumont Deschessart is worth a bet. I think he's worth a bet because he's starting to figure it out. He's been playing well. This is a tournament where he can be very aggressive. His length can help. I think this could be one of those fields where he can do something pretty substantial. So I think I'm going to put him out there on the card for the week. Other than that, I really don't like a whole lot about this tournament. So if you caught some of those values earlier, I would get on Skins quickly at that 45-1 number, because once it's below 40, it's not worth it. Micheluzzi, you probably don't want to get on now at 65. I don't think that value is good enough. But Trace Crowe, I do think, is good enough. And that's probably it for me on that tournament. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. Tomorrow, we will talk about the Amundi Evian Championship, which is the major this week on the LPGA in France. We've got a major on the Champions Tour in Ohio at Firestone, the colleague company's championship, used to be the senior players. We've got LIV in Spain. Hopefully you got that John Catlin ticket in. I haven't even looked at the updating pricing for that, but hopefully you got there with that. There are probably some values worth looking at there. And then I think that's it for us this week. So we'll go over those tournaments. Just as a way of a quick update, John Catlin is now 55-1. So some money has come in on him. I got him at 80. Hopefully you listened to got him at 65 at worst yesterday. He's now 55. So he's probably quite a liability. Now he won't win, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. Email me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, at Ryan Ballingy, Facebook, YouTube, Ryan Ballingy Golf. And you can join Golf News Net for $40 a year or $10 for the week at golfnewsnet.com. Back with the final show of the week tomorrow. Looking forward to talking through the remainder of the docket with you. Thanks so much for spending some time with me, and we'll talk to you next time on The Press.